You are now tuned in to Red Sea Radio, Fairfield University's only student-run podcast covering all things Fairfield athletics. Here's your hosts, Kyle Majewitz and Jack Sarasulo.
All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio, back again another week. Today is February 15th, 2022, and we're back to talk Fairfield sports on WVOF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. Another week, Jack. Three games for the Stags. How are we feeling this week?
Good, good. You know, positive week. String together a couple positive weeks. And
it'll be a positive month.
Yeah.
That's how things work. So we have to cover three Fairfield basketball games today on the show, but I figured let's start it off a little differently today. Let's talk Fairfield baseball for the first time in a few months. Finally getting back into the swing of things. And a little Fairfield baseball news for today is that the Stags had a couple All-MAC players, and the rankings were released.
The coaches' poll.
So, first of all, preseason MAC player of the year is Mike Caruso, catcher. Returning player for Fairfield. Solid, solid season last year, obviously. Didn't end the way he liked with him getting injured going into the tournament, but he still had a phenomenal season last year, and I'd say a much-deserved preseason player of the year for him. And then we also had Mike Handel be also named to the MAC preseason All-MAC. So a couple All-MAC players. Thought we could have had a couple more, honestly, but
yeah, I was surprised they weren't even number one in the coaches' poll.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So coaches' poll for MAC baseball has Monmouth at one, has us at two, Canisius three, Marist four, Ryder five, and then a few teams tied for six. Goes down all the way down to 11, obviously. You know, just that top group right there, it's interesting, right? First of all, you had Ryder, who won the MAC last year, the tournament, and they're fifth. And then you have us, who got the at-large bid and had a almost perfect season, going number two. Obviously, yeah, we lost a decent amount of players, some to the draft, some to graduation. But, hey, it's more fuel to the fire for the boys. And obviously, preseason rankings don't mean much. But I thought it was nice to give you guys an update on that as we move into baseball season, because obviously we're going to have to start covering baseball in a few weeks, so just thought you'd get you ready for that. And I'm surprised Noviello wasn't on All-MAC.
Yeah, he should have gotten.
I'm not sure how they do the pitching. I don't know how they do pitching.
I wonder if it's like teams, like, or is there just like a MAC, All-MAC team preseason, or like there's like,
I don't know if they do like one pitcher, yeah, or if they have a couple pitchers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like just a starting pitcher.
I'm surprised he wasn't in there. But anyway, Fairfield baseball starting soon. Definitely a lot more coverage on here as the time goes on. But let's get into Fairfield basketball now. We had three games this past week, so we're starting off last Wednesday. So Fairfield Quinnipiac, our sole loss of the week, 69-60. So I didn't watch this game. I was at the Morgan Wallen concert, and I guess I'm happy I didn't watch this game.
You didn't miss much.
But yeah, but I'm going to pass it over to you for a little bit of your thoughts. You know, the recap here shows that, you know, Belonk for them had 23 points, and for us, TJ had 11, Cook had 10 and 16 rebounds. So what is your take on the game? Because I didn't get to watch a single second of this game.
Yeah, I mean, they started off slow. They dropped, like, and they were down 10 early, and they kind of made a run with, well, TJ, the biggest story, I think, from the game is TJ and Jalen kind of started to get a ton of minutes together, which we haven't really seen all year, maybe a little bit, but, like, not for, like, long stretches. And I think this game kind of put Jalen's, like, rotation into stone a little bit, because since this game, the past two games after this, we've seen a lot of TJ and Jalen minutes together with, they take Wojcik and Caleb out, they put TJ and Jalen in. So, I mean, not a good game, but they definitely played well together, and I think it, even though it was a loss, I think it, in the long run, it will help kind of with their rotations in the future, because it kind of solidified that with both of them playing well.
Yeah. But I was looking back at your text to me from that day, and you were saying how, you know, Jalen and TJ look good together and how they're getting a ton of minutes. And you said TJ's the only thing keeping us in it right now.
Well, I mean, he had – I don't think he really scored at all in the second half, but, I mean, he had – he must have had all 11 in the first half, if not – he had most of it, if not all the 11 points in the first half. But he was playing really well in the first half.
What do you think was, like, the worst, the biggest downfall of them? Because I see you're texting me. You said we can't score on a much smaller team.
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
the bigs played a role in that. Or
I mean, Cook had a good game rebounding wise, like statistically, but like it was just like driving was just not there for them that game. And obviously, the 3-point shooting wasn't great as it hasn't really been the past month or so. But like Taj had a really poor game. I think I remember texting you that. Like they had chances to make runs late in the game. It was, like, down, like, six, and Taj had, like, an open three in the corner to cut the three, and he'd miss it, and then it turned to, like, a 4-0 run for Quinnipiac, make it 10 again. Like, they were kept...
They couldn't get that final push.
Yeah, and it was just, like, needed, like, an open shot to go in or whatever, but it just wasn't going in.
Yeah, so stats-wise for this game, it looks like they shot 30% from three, 7 of 23, and, you know, they shot 60% from the line, 33% from the field in general. And, yeah, 11 turnovers. So we'll move on for that one because our sole loss. We'll try not to harp too much on that because we did go into Saturday needing a win badly against Niagara, very badly. 1 o'clock game on a Saturday. Not a great crowd at Webster Bank Arena, if I do say so, I guess because of the early start time. But this one ended 73-53. The Stags had a 20-point win, I believe. Yeah. Frank tweeted that it was the first home 20-point win in the Jay Young era. I think the last one was also against Niagara, but it was before Jay Young, which I think was also before we were here, too. I think it was 2017. So, first home 20-point win in our time here. So, Jesus Cruz led the Stags 14 points, 6 rebounds. Maido had a phenomenal game. Caleb had a phenomenal game. For the most part, everyone played well, and it was a very, very dominant win, unlike we've seen, I'd say, all year, really, besides Medgar Evers, which doesn't really count. So stats-wise for this one, Fairfield shot 45% from the field. They shot 54% from three, which might be a season high. They were 13 for 24. They also shot 83% from the line. They out-rebounded Niagara 35-30. They had 18 assists in this one, which I'm not sure if we've seen in a long, long time from the Stags. They also had 6 steals. They had 2 blocks, 7 turnovers, 12 fouls, and a 26-point high lead. And they also never trailed, according to ESPN. So, like I mentioned, I think everyone pretty much played well in this game. One player that I was still slightly disappointed with was Jake, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, he just didn't take many shots in the Quinnipiac game, didn't take many shots in this game. So it's like, he shot efficiently, but it's like, it's kind of hard when you're not shooting well. It's like, you want him to take more shots to get out of it, but then if he's missing them, you don't want him to take too many shots.
Yeah. One of the things I've been noticing about him, especially when I work, is like, he's missing a lot in pregame too. Like, it's not even just in game. I feel like he's in a shooting slump just in general. Like, even pregame, you'll watch him and he'll miss a good portion of his shots, which I feel like sometimes with players of his skill, it's more so like in the game, you know, like in pregame, since obviously no one's guarding them or anything, they'll still like drain, and then when they get in the game, they're kind of slumping. But he's been slumping in pregame too, which is kind of concerning to me. And I feel like he's still been generally kind of slumping as of late, so we'll still have to monitor that. But obviously the way Cruz has been playing, I sent you the meme yesterday, or I sent you the picture yesterday. I don't know if our listeners will be familiar with Thunderstruck, which is which is a movie that Kevin Durant made while he was on the Thunder, where Kevin Durant basically swaps powers with
some kid
and then the kid's, like, phenomenal at basketball, and then KD's, like, awful for the whole movie until they swap powers again. I feel like I sent you the meme yesterday that Cruz and Jake swapped powers for the week, at least shooting-wise. because now Cruz is like a deep ball threat, and Jake has like very little threat from there now. So it feels like they like swapped powers, and they need a. Well, how did that movie?
I was
like,
I remember
they
how
needed
they...
the Thunder mascot to get like hit in the head with the ball, and then they needed to both like they needed to both hold the ball and say like, "What hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard,"
yeah,
or whatever.
Something like that.
So we need Lucas the Stag to get hit in the head with the ball, and then we need Cruz and Jake to hold the ball and say that, and maybe their powers get switched again. So anyway, Jake has been kind of slumping, but Cruz has been carrying heavily. But in this game, we'll go through the stats real quick. Mido, I thought, was another guy who played really well. He played 19 minutes, 5 for 5 from the field, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, no turnovers or anything, pretty clean game, 3 fouls, 10 points. He was very aggressive in this game, which is obviously what we've been calling for not just this season, but for his entirety of him being a Stag, is being aggressive, like getting those second chance opportunities, throwing down a dunk on a rebound, like just the aggression that we don't always see from him, but when we do, he plays well. Like even last year against Iona in the game we won, he had like
that
aggression.
Was one of his best games.
It's like whenever you look at his best games, it's him playing with this extra aggression that he doesn't always play with and taking a little bit more shots than he's used to. You see in this one, 5 shots, 5 for 5. Most of them were probably dunks, and he played really well. So I thought he was one of the best players in this game. And then we had Jake, who we just mentioned. He did go 3 for 7 from the field, 2 for 2 from 3. He had 2 steals, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 8 points. So, like you said, it's not like a terrible game from him, but I just feel like he's kind of taken a back seat in these past couple games. He's not doing all the scoring. Then we had Caleb, who also played really well. Thought he had a very good game. 35 minutes, 3 for 6 from the field, 2 for 4 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line, 5 rebounds. He had 8 assists, which has to be up there for his
career,
especially at Fairfield. Only 1 turnover, no fouls, 10 points. And this is still him generally coming back from the injury. You know, he's only a few games removed at this point. I thought it was a really, really good game for him. Definitely his best game back up to that point. So that was really good to see. And then Cruz, obviously, he only played 23 minutes. Still had 14 points on 5 of 14 from shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 foul. So, you know, he had a solid game. And it's really the three-point shooting that was his stats in this one. I mean, he had 12 points from 3. He only had 14 points, so... It's interesting because usually you see Cruz driving. That's usually his strong point. And it kind of was a little bit – it was more mixed yesterday. But in this game, three-point shooting was his pretty much his scoring game. And I was even sitting next to the Niagara bench when I was working. He's very close to the bench. And their players were even in disbelief that he was able to – because I think there was a stretch where he hit like 2 or 3 threes like much – in a row or very, very quick sequence. And the players were just like, no way. Like, no, how is this? Like, they were, like, shocked, too. So, yeah, I mean, it's weird that we've seen him become such a threat from three in the past few days. He got better, definitely, during this season. But now he's, like, really good from three. Like, very confident almost when he's shooting the three. So, very, very solid game from him. Taj, 30 minutes. 2 of 7 from the field, 1 for 4 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, 7 points. So not the best offensive day from him, but one of the things he did that was very, very important was keep Hammond in check, who is Niagara's best player, best scorer. We mentioned last week how he kind of led them to victory against Iona. We know what type of player he is.
Yeah, we know he can do what – I mean – he's, like, one of the best scorers in the MAC, if not the best, just one-on-one scorer.
Yeah, and we kept him very, very much in check. I think he had 6 points at halftime. And then what did he end with?
8.
8? So he scored, what, 2 points in the second half?
And if you look at his other game logs, like his recent games, he's dropped 20-plus in every other game except that Fairfield game recently.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a chance to watch Hammond in person. I don't remember if I've ever worked like another Niagara game in the past, but I was like kind of interested. Obviously, I wanted Fairfield to win, but I was just kind of interested to watch him in person because if you hear, like, you know, he's a very solid scorer in the MAC, and I was so shocked how well we were able to defend him. He was almost, you know, unknown on the court. He was almost not even a factor in the game at all. So that was a very, very good job from Taj and, you know, everyone else who defended him. And the defensive effort in this game was also just incredible. I mean, they ended with 53, but they had 30 points deep into the second half. You know, they made a little run at one point, and they never really pulled it too close to where I thought we were going to lose. But scoring-wise, they made a little run in the second half that takes a little bit away from how our defense played. But for the most part, they had like 30 points like halfway through the second half. So our defense played really, really well in this game. Going to the bench, first of all, it was nice to see the bench clear out in this one. You know, everyone pretty much got in here. But from the more larger minute getters, we had Supreme Cook, 17 minutes. They said it was a minor violation that he had to not start for.
It was like a team rule violation or something like that.
It's probably something minor, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he was still playing, he didn't get
sat out the whole game or anything. So
he played the same amount of minutes like he usually would.
Yeah, so it's probably just a minor lesson or whatever. But 17 minutes, 1 for 3 from the field, 5 for 7 from the line, which, I mean, that's a nice sign. 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 4 turnovers, which is not the best, but 3 fouls, 7 points. So if you look at our duo there, 17 points, what do they got, 12 rebounds. So pretty solid game from Mido and Cook duo. Allen Jean Rose only played 3 minutes in this one, kind of empty stat line, similar to what we'd see
last year,
which is kind of interesting. We talked about this last week for a long time about Allen, but I guess with Leach coming in now and TJ playing better, he's almost taking more of a back seat now.
Yeah, I think Jalen
and Cruz getting more minutes too.
With Cruz kind of bumping himself back up to like those starter minutes, in addition to Leach coming back from injury, and like obviously Leach must have some type of standing with Jalen that he kind of comes back from injury and immediately gets his 12-15 minutes that was going to Allen for a while.
What's interesting is I feel like Jalen didn't really get those minutes before he was hurt either.
Yeah, he had a stretch. I mean, he played a lot in the Meg Rivers game, I remember, obviously, but that's, like, different. But, yeah, he wasn't really getting the most minutes. He got a little bit in the Providence game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and I guess we don't really know behind the scenes, was he even fully healthy at that point? Because he was hurt last year. You know, like, he's been hurt for so long that we don't really know if his minutes were because if he was still recovering to some extent or if he still wasn't fully comfortable with the offense or fully comfortable, you know, playing because he hadn't really had a full season to begin with. So, obviously, I'm a fan of him getting the minutes. We'll talk about it later, but he had a huge rebound last night. And, you know, he played pretty well in this Niagara game. He didn't really have a whole lot of chance to do much, but he had a nice and-one drive in the Niagara game. He played 10 minutes. He went 1 for 3 from the field, 1 for 1 for the line, like I mentioned. 1 assist, 1 rebound. So, you know, not really crazy stats, but I feel like just in general he played pretty solid. But obviously Caleb was playing so well that I feel like his ball handling skills and stuff like that weren't really needed. But Chrysler played 18 minutes in this one, 3 for 5 from the field, 2 for 3 from three. 2 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 fouls, 8 points. I thought Zach played pretty well in this one. He shot the ball well.
Three was landing.
Yeah, so I thought he played pretty well. I wouldn't mind if he took more shots in this game, but, you know, everyone was scoring and it was so distributed that, you know, it doesn't really matter. It wasn't really necessary for him to, but I wouldn't have minded if he, you know, took some more shots. But overall, solid game from him. TJ, 14 minutes, 2 for 4 from the field, 2 for 3 from three. 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 foul, 6 points. Again, I thought a solid defensive effort from him as well. And it's nice to see him getting more consistent minutes now, because we were frustrated last week, obviously, when, you know, he played well against Monmouth and the loss, and then in the next game he didn't really play as much, even though he was, like, the best player in the previous game. So it's nice to see him now creeping up and getting consistent, you know, 10 to 15 minutes or whatever a game. We also had, I guess we mentioned everyone in there besides the guys who got Sivas in at the end. Yeah, it was nice to see him go in the game.
I was hoping he would shoot.
Yeah, I want him to shoot, too. I don't know. Has he shot at all?
I don't know. He must have gotten a shot in the Meg Rivers game.
Yeah, he must have. But I would have liked to see him.
Yeah, he scored 1 point in against William & Mary.
Yeah, well, they didn't really get a chance to shoot much. I think he only had a couple possessions. So, but still nice to see them get in. And when you can clear the bench out, especially at Webster Bank Arena, and celebrate a 20-point win, something we haven't done ourselves since we've been here. So very nice. Put me in a good mood that game. Nice Saturday morning treat. And we had hoped that it would keep the momentum going into Monday, and it worked out that way, thankfully. So any final thoughts on that game, by the way?
I mean, best all-around effort of the season, probably. Yeah, offensively, defensively, at home. I mean, it's like a solid team, like not like one of the bottom feeders of the MAC, right?
Well, that's the thing, too. They were just coming off of a good stretch of play. People were tweeting about it, how they were just coming off a good stretch, and then they, you know, wind up losing by 20 to us. Just shows how crazy the MAC is or how close it is. You know, Iona lost again. And yeah, what do you think about that, Iona, Siena, them storming the court?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's warranted. I think when it comes to Iona, like, they're such a big powerhouse in the conference that it's definitely warranted.
I think, like, people, former fans of Siena are upset with it because they view themselves as, you know,
equal
or better than Iona program-wise, like program history-wise.
Well,
which makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think from a student view, from a Siena student view, they obviously don't understand the history between the two schools. And I think they just look at it this year as Iona is a team that had one loss before that, had beat like a top 10 team at a time. Very talked about in the media and stuff. It's a really big win for Siena this year. And I don't know, not a lot of students really go to MAC games in general.
Yeah, so like,
so if it's going to draw students,
when you get a crowd, doing that will just help you draw crowds for the future. It's like,
and would you, yeah, exactly. Would you rather beat Iona and 15 or like, I don't know, 40 students are in attendance? Or would you rather beat Iona and there's a bunch of students in attendance and they storm the court and slightly embarrass you?
I think, like, the idea of Patino being the coach of Iona kind of ups the ante a little bit more. Because, like, beating a coach like Rick Pitino, a coach-led team like Rick Pitino has, or Iona is, it's like, it's like facing a ranked team. It's like facing
a... I think it just means more to those students that don't really follow the team necessarily, but know, like, college basketball, too.
Yeah.
Because obviously they'll know who he is, and they'll probably see Iona on, like, some media outlets that are a little bit bigger talking about how, oh, they beat Bama, or how they, you know, have all these wins and how they were undefeated in the conference before, you know, a couple weeks ago. So I think those type of people who don't really love Siena basketball, but they like college basketball, they heard that their team was playing a, you know, highly ranked school and how they have a Rick Pitino as a coach or whatever, maybe it drew those people to the game, and then, you know, they stormed the court after. And I don't know. I'm
fine with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset with it. I mean, you got to be happy that you beat Iona.
Yeah.
And you got to be happy that people showed up to the game. So that's my take on it. But I guess I get how, like, the older generation of fans are upset because they feel like they should be holding themselves to a higher standard as being equal to or better than Iona in program history. I don't know. Let the kids have fun and let them storm the court. I would love to storm the court.
Yeah, I mean, if they, if I was at, if like, if when we go to, or no, they're away to Iona, let's just say, like if we were at that Iona game and they won,
you would have stormed the court.
I would have stormed the court, even if it was
you
by myself.
You would have got tackled.
Yeah. We were debating storming the court when we went to the Monmouth game a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, all of you guys over there, you guys would have got tackled.
Now the guy said, I'll take out one or two of you, but not the rest. I can't take out all of you. Someone's getting through.
There would have been 12 of you guys on the court. That would have been weird. But I don't have a problem with the Siena situation. I just thought it was interesting to bring up because it's a weird situation, you know. I feel like you should just be happy that you beat them. And hopefully we beat them this weekend. So, anyway, let's get back to our third game. We got Fairfield. Last night they played Canisius 80-76. So, a little recap of this. Jesus Cruz had career-high 25 points in the overtime win. Caleb Green obviously had the game winner with 13 seconds left. Jalen Leach had that clutch rebound to
clinch it.
Get fouled and, you know, hit the pair of free throws, clinch the game. And, yeah, Taj had 17 points. Malik Green for them had 19. So let's get into it, into the stats. First of all, I didn't get to watch the first half of this game.
I started watching like 7 minutes left in the first half.
Okay, so you see. So I don't think I started watching until second half.
They were up like 8 minutes. They were like up when 8 when I started watching. 23-15, something like that.
It was a pretty close game when I started watching. We were up by a few. I think I started watching with 10 or 9 minutes in the second half.
Yeah, it started getting close around like the 17-minute mark. It was like they were up like 10-ish like for a while, 7 to 10 around that area. And then like they kind of burst out to a lead. They called timeout, and then after that, it kind of tightened up a little bit more.
Yeah, I saw how close it was. I was like, I have to tune in. Post Valentine's Day dinner, I was like, I have to watch this. I'm sorry. So then we put it on, and it was a close game. And I was like, am I bad luck? We started like almost going down, and then, you know, back and forth game. Game goes to overtime. And first of all, electric play from Taj to tie it.
Yeah.
In regulation. I thought he won it.
Yeah, that's what the announcers were saying. They thought he won it the way he celebrated, but like,
because he looked like he was gonna like run off the court.
It was something I noticed the past few games. I think the clock on the broadcast is different from the clock in the stands by like the actual clock on the court by like 0.2 seconds. Because like I noticed this in a, it was up like in the Niagara game, like the shot clock went to zero on the screen. They got a shot off afterwards and they scored and they didn't call anything. I was like, that's weird. Like,
so what did you thought?
So I thought he didn't get the shot off in time. Originally, it helped that you can see the backboard turn red at the buzzer,
because it really wasn't even that close.
Yeah, I know it wasn't close at all. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The only reason I didn't think so is because the buzzer on the back of the backboard, the red buzzer goes off. That's what you can tell.
Yeah, yeah. The red buzzer was like way after he got the shot.
But like I was watching and checking the clock at the same time, like the way,
and
I don't know.
Thought the clock ran out before.
Yeah. I thought when they handed it off to him, he wasn't having enough time to drive all the way to the rim.
When we first had that play going, I was like, this is a disaster.
Well, because they were going to do that handoff. They were going to do the handoff, and I thought he was going to have to like pull up from like 3, because I thought.
Yeah.
But then he started driving, and I was like, oh, he's not going to get the shot off in the first place.
I thought it was going to end with someone taking a deep three, like most of our final shots end. And for him to drive in, always confident when Taj drives, call him all reliable on our Twitter, and very, very solid, very electric. I was very hyped. And I was happy that I was going to overtime, because then I got to watch a little bit more Stags basketball that I missed some of the show. So, anyway, we go to overtime. They open up with a 3, right? I thought they were going to low-key run away with it. I got nervous for a little bit. But we played well, and Caleb hits the game winner. And I was not expecting that from him. I was not expecting that fade.
Because it was like a broken possession, and we just kind of threw it up. And it's like one of like like the prettier moves he's made.
Yeah,
kind of.
That was a very tough shot. I feel like that was one of the better shots we've probably ever seen him hit.
Yeah,
in a Fairfield jersey.
And he really pulls up, like, he really shoots from, like, mid-range. I mean, he did a little bit last year, that mid-range game, but, like, this year it's mostly been, like, either in the middle of the paint or, like, from the three-point line.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty uncharacteristic of him. I feel like the only mid-range stuff he does is maybe, like, floaters.
A little bit of, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like we've never really even seen him take that type of shot that he took last night, which kind of worried me at first, and then obviously really quickly it went in, and, you know, you're jumping up and down. But as a Fairfield fan, you can never celebrate for too long because you know that they have,
you know, they
some
have,
time left.
They have their shot.
So I was nervous about that. I was like, oh, we left too much time. And they got a really good look.
Yeah.
Thank God they did not hit that. You know, obviously, you got to get some one of those sometimes. You know, you got to get the benefit.
They're going to miss a clutch shot at some point.
Yeah, you got to get the benefit of the doubt at some point. Obviously, we were one shot away from beating Monmouth and, you know, one shot away from losing to Canisius. So, luckily for us, the bounce went our way. But I was super nervous. And then, obviously, Jalen had a nice rebound right at the end to make sure they didn't get another chance, hit the free throws. So, very, very solid end to the game. Exciting. But as I think Frank tweeted us, as he noted, you know, we were up big at some point in this game. You know, even in the second half, right? 10 or whatever.
10, yeah.
To have to win that in overtime, it's a little disappointing to not be able to close it out.
Yeah.
I guess the excited Fairfield fan would say, awesome, you know, exciting, thrilling game, nice win. But I guess the more realistic or maybe the more pessimistic Fairfield fan would say, why didn't we close that out?
Yeah, I mean, the more pessimistic fan would be like, oh, if that was against Iona, we definitely lose. Like, you're doing this against the worst team in the MAC.
Yeah, how are you going to be when we play St. Peter's Friday, Iona on Sunday or whatever? So, two perspectives to look at. But looking at the stats, we had Fairfield shooting 50% from the field. So, again, you look at the last two games, we shot in the 50s or close to the 50s. And then you look at our few weeks before that, we were shooting in like the 30s, so that's definitely a sign. 40% from three as well, we were not shooting that well in prior weeks. 94% from the line, which is a really, really good number. 17 of 18 from the line, and 27 rebounds. We did get out rebounded. I think that was something that people were upset with as well. We had 11 assists, 5 steals, 2 blocks, 14 turnovers, which is, again, surprising. Usually when we have that many turnovers, we lose. 20 fouls, and we led the game by 10 at the most, while Canisius only led by 3 at the most. So moving into the box scores, Supreme Cook, he had 10 points last night on 31 minutes, 3 of 6 from the field, 4 of 4 from the line. So he's been shooting it well from the line past couple of games.
Yeah, last game, this game especially, he had some big free throws in spots where, like...
Yeah, later in the game. 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 turnovers. So while he has been shooting from the free throw line well, I think he's had 4 turnovers in the last two games as well, both times. So 8 turnovers in the last two games, which is a little bit concerning. But
I know, and I mean, hopefully it's a...
They've been hitting him with that travel a lot recently.
Yeah, there were a couple where even the announcers, I mean, the announcers, they don't, they love to not say, oh, that wasn't a travel. But, like, I think they're a little homerish at times, but they had a couple where it was like, I really didn't think it was a travel. Like, it was just like a, there were a couple that, like, it wasn't like a lapse in concentration. It was like a just complete, like, I don't know.
I forgot to mention that. I thought the refs were pretty poor in the Niagara game. There was a lot of instances. I thought both ways they were very poor. Like, I thought they missed a lot of calls both ways, not just being a biased Fairfield fan. And I can't think back to any specific situations right now, unfortunately. But I just remember, and I remember working and hearing both coaches, you know, complain a lot that they missed calls and agreeing with them. I thought the refs were pretty poor in that game. And then last night, I know there were some refereeing issues I remember you texting me. What was that one foul that was completely?
Oh, they called like a foul. They called a loose ball foul on a rebound that was like completely off ball, like nowhere. Like, I think I want to say it was on Jalen or Taj. I forget. It was on a guard boxing out, and the rebound went like long, like way off from them to Caleb, and they called it like him running up the court. They called it, and they kept it there. It was like just like the most like unnecessary whistle ever.
There was also a late shooting foul that could have been a charge.
Oh yeah, that was like very late in the game.
Yeah, like very late. Like could have completely changed the outcome of the game. So,
I forget who. Even
I don't
took
remember
it.
Who it was.
I want to say May Cruz.
But I just remember watching it. It might have been Taj.
It might have been Taj.
I don't know. Whoever it was, I remember that was really important because it gave them foul shots. And this, you know, we're talking about a back and forth 2-point game here and there. So. That was disappointing. I thought the referees have been pretty poor the last couple of games, but, I mean, what can you do about that, really? Jake, he had 27 minutes, 2-for-7 from the field, 2-for-7 from three, which means all his shots were threes. 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 turnovers, 4 fouls, and only 6 points in this one. So, again, kind of another underwhelming night for him. I know he got in foul trouble.
But I think in him, Caleb and Cruz were all in foul trouble, I think, for almost the entire second half.
Yeah, and that's why we didn't really see a whole lot of Jake. I think Cruz still played despite that. But
Caleb was out for more than he usually is because of it, I know.
Yeah, because, I mean, he only played 28. We're used to see him get more minutes than that.
I mean, like, Jake, I think the worst part about those foul trouble, just it put him as like a turnstile on defense. Not because he can't play it; like he's not a terrible defender. He's just that with those fouls, he couldn't really do much. Couldn't rebound really. Like I saw him at times really have to pull up from trying to get a rebound just because
he didn't want to foul.
Yeah,
and yeah, like times I guess like it just affected his game all around.
And like at times, like the refs were calling like very touchy fouls. I know there was one that they called like. Against Canisius Antage, that was like he kind of was just like turning the corner and it was like a touch foul sent to the line. But like with Jake, like you can't really guard that much if you're gonna get a call just for like making contact at the 3-point line. So at times he literally had to like almost let them like pass through.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting. Another thing too is that he took only threes in this game. So
and he. And he had that poor three or that poor shot attempt late in the game. The three that got blocked. I forget the exact situation. I think they were down at that point, or down or tied late in the game.
But yeah, like, that one was. He kind of had to sense the
pressure
defense coming on that one, and he didn't. And it got tipped or whatever. It wound up being like an air ball. That was a poor shot. I remember we were a little disappointed over that. But moving on, we had Caleb, 28 minutes, or I should say with Jake. I hope that he starts to find his shot a little bit more because we're going to need it
later
going into Friday and Sunday and obviously postseason. You know, we're going into some really, really big games this weekend, and we had him, you know, against Iona, we had him shooting 8 threes, and now he's not really coming close to those type of numbers. So I know we have other guys playing better now. I know we have Mido back as compared to that game, but we're definitely going to need him to play better than he's been playing. It's definitely been underwhelming compared to what we need. So,
and without like against those top teams in the MAC, you're gonna need guys that can like create their own shot. Like it's a perfect time for Taj and Cruz to kind of get back into their groove because like those are two guys that can. And if Jake can kind of get that going, like those are three guys you can give the ball to at the end of a game and say like go score. And like if they're all playing well at once, it could be like very make the offense look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, when we score, into the 70s and 80s, we usually have a pretty good record.
Yeah.
And to get to that point, we're going to need 2 or 3 guys in double figures. And it's most likely going to be a combination of Cruz, Taj, Jake, you know, maybe one of the bigs. So hopefully they can all string it together. But I feel like we've been saying that for, you know, some time now. Caleb, he obviously had a solid game too. 28 minutes, 3-for-7 from the field, 0-for-1 from 3, 2-for-2 from the line, a rebound, an assist, Two turnovers, four fouls, 8 points in the game winner. So, like you mentioned, he did see a reduction in time due to his foul trouble, but still found a way to make a contribution very late in the game, obviously, game winner. So, solid from him. And we're going to need him to play well in those big games, too, going forward, you know, Friday, Sunday, even tomorrow. So, hopefully he can keep it up. Cruz, 33 minutes, 9 for 12 from the field, 5 of 6 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, 1 turnover, 4 fouls, 25 points, career high for him. So, past couple games here, he's had, 39 points in 2 games. Very, very solid for him. And, I don't know, any critiques of his game?
No, not really. I mean,
I know we were upset that one
play. He had one drive where he kind of dribbled into like four.
Forced the jump ball turnover at the end.
Yeah. But I mean, that's just like, you can't really fault the guy that had 25 points on 9 of 12 shooting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see now with him playing this well how much he's going to continue to shoot. You know, he shot 14 against Niagara. He shot 12 against Canisius last night. So, it's going to be interesting to see how much he keeps shooting, even if it's not always going down for him. You know, because last year, his issue was, even when he wasn't shooting well, he would still take 15, 16, 17 shots, and we'd sometimes see like 3 for 17. Now he's backing it up by actually scoring, but I'm just interested to see if he stop scoring, will he still be taking that amount of shots?
And also, to be fair, I mean, a lot less of his shots are, like, kind of forced, like, dribble drives into the paint. Like, a lot of it's just more set up that he ends up being open on three-point shots, where it's, like, if he keeps getting let open, then, like, let him keep shooting.
So yeah, half his shots were threes, and he went 5 or 6 from three. That's another thing, too. I wonder if teams are going to start recognizing this now and, you know, giving him some more respect from three.
I mean, hopefully it opens, and hopefully that opens up the paint for him even more, like, allows him to actually get back to where his usual better, like, area shooting-wise is.
High percentage, yeah. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, especially with some better coaches coming up, like Pitino, you know. Are they going to recognize that he's shooting really well from three in the past week and, you know, maybe we'll have to go out and guard him out there now a little bit more. Because like you said, a lot of his threes are kind of open threes too. And he's shooting well, 5 or 6 this game. So it's really going to be interesting to watch him play. I feel like there's a lot of different ways that he can go over the next week or so. And there's a lot of different ways that people could guard him over the next week or so. So it's going to be very interesting to see. And the way he's playing right now, we're going to need him to keep contributing heavily in these next couple games. So I hope they either don't respect him from three and they let him keep shooting these threes, or like you said, they will play him a little tightly and it'll not only open up the paint for him, but maybe open up some other guys as well. So obviously the team's going to benefit when he's playing well, so we hope he keeps playing well, and I hope that he can continue it against, you know, the bigger schools or the bigger teams like St. Peter's and Iona. Taj, this was one of Taj's best games in a while. He played 39 minutes, 5 of 10 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. So he's still kind of struggling from 3. But he was 6 of 6 from the line, as we know him as one of the best free throw shooters on the team. He had some clutch free throws yesterday as well. 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 17 points. I don't know when the last time we saw Taj score 17 points was.
Yeah, it's been a while. He's struggled a little bit from shooting-wise recently.
But last night, he obviously had the very, very important bucket to keep us in the game and send it to overtime. And, you know, we've noted that he's still going to give you a good defensive effort as well every time he's out there. But 17 points for him is huge. I hope he can continue to find some ways to contribute, whether it be driving or mid-range shots. It doesn't really look like the three has been falling for him this season. And I don't know if he's going to figure that out over the last, you know, stretch of games into the postseason. But if he can find a way to contribute, you know, not even 17, but, you know, 12, 14 points a game, that would help us significantly. Because, like you mentioned, past few weeks he hasn't really been scoring much. at all. So this was a really big contribution to the team. And hopefully he continues to play well, because when Taj plays well, we usually play well as a team. Alan Jean Rose, 6 minutes off the bench. Very empty stat line again, one rebound. So he's kind of almost completely lost his way in the lineup. And I don't know how that'll change going back against some of these teams that he's played well against in the past. Like, he played well against Canisius the first time around. So, you know, it's interesting that Jae Young still didn't play him much in this one, knowing he already kind of dominated them.
Especially with the foul trouble, like, that everyone was in. It's like the fact that he chose, like, a Jalen over him. Because Jalen had 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's surprising that he gave a guy coming off injury, a young guy coming off injury, all those minutes instead of, like,
someone who played well against Canisius.
Yeah.
You know, a month and a half ago. So that's interesting for Allen, and I'm not sure where he goes from here or how he can kind of win himself back into the lineup. Mido, 14 minutes, 0 for 3 from the field, 1 for 2 from the line, 1 assist, 1 rebound, 1 turnover, 1 block, 1 foul, 1 point. A lot of ones from Mido last night. What was your take on him? I didn't feel like I didn't really get to see him play a whole lot.
You didn't really notice him much on offense. I mean, he really didn't, like, touch the ball that much. I mean, also, to be fair to him, his minutes probably correlated a lot with, like, the crew's explosion of threes. So it's like, as a big like Mido, it's like, if you're not being asked to score, you don't, like, I feel like that's not really a fault of his own that he didn't score, because Cruz and Taj had such big games that, like, you kind of have to defer to them for that time.
Yeah, and just let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that. It's interesting how inconsistent his kind of stat lines look, though. He'll have a game where he scores 10, and then he'll have a game where he, you know, scores 1.
And I mean, also, he does rely a lot as, like, a role man to like, Caleb, or, like, a role man for Taj. So it's like, they don't really ask him that often to, like, post up back to the basket. I mean, they do ask him sometimes, but, like, that's not really his game.
Often, yeah.
So, like, his points are kind of sporadic. It's, like, depending on how he's rebounding or how...
And it's, like, a lot of cleanup stuff,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
So
it's
depends on the situation.
If they're shooting a ton of threes, it's, like, the ball's going to be longer rebounds, not lower chance of him being able to have, like, a putback or whatever, a alley-oop or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I feel like if you correlate, like, Caleb's assists to Mido's points, I feel like they would be a lot, very correlated.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Higher Caleb assists.
Especially the three-point shooting thing, that's definitely a good way to put it. But hopefully he plays well against Peters and Iona, because we're going to need him with, you know, their size. And, you know, we mentioned that against Iona, he would have made a big difference last time. So now let's see how, you know, we look with him in there. So anyway, Chrysler, he played 12 minutes, 2 for 3 from the field, 1 for 2 from 3, 1 rebound, 5 points. I don't think I saw Zach play yesterday. I don't know if he got in late in the game at all. So it must have been earlier game points and minutes.
I'm trying to think.
I feel like for most of the second half, I didn't really see him play.
Yeah, I think he played, like, early second half. I think by the 10-minute mark, I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I don't think I saw him play at all. Maybe a little bit. But his numbers don't look too bad. But I'm not sure. I didn't really get to see him play. TJ played 10 minutes, 1 for 1 from the field. Only 2 points, 1 rebound, 3 fouls, 1 turnover. I'm not sure either. How would you assess him yesterday?
I think he was fine. I mean, again, when there's guys like Cruz and Taj going off, it's like you kind of have to, like, justify your expectations. Like, you can't expect them to be scoring all these points when you have a guy scoring 25 and 17 next to you almost the entire game.
Yeah, it's not going to be as distributive as it usually is if someone's going off, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. All right. Jalen Leach, 25 minutes, 2 for 4 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3, 2 for 2 from the line. Those are his last two free throws he hit. 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, 3 fouls, 6 points. How about Jalen? How would you say he played over the course of the long game? Because I saw his late minutes.
I think he played. I think he played great. It's like he just looks like he like, fits in like very well. Like his talent level, like his skill level, is like definitely up to par with like the rest of the guys in the starting lineup. Which is like sometimes you can't really see that with some of the other guys that cut minutes. Like sometimes you can tell like they're not ready to get minutes yet. Like Jalen looks like prepared and like he looks good when he plays. Yeah, and defensively, he's very good. He's very long.
I was going to say, I like how he's a lot taller, you know, for his position than what we have. You know, it's one of the things you notice, like, when you see him in person. I don't even know if it does it justice on TV, but I feel like when you see him in person, you're like, he's a lot taller than I expected. And I think that suits him well for, you know, his position. And I think it's, like, a nice refresher for us because, you know, we have, like, if he's playing point, we have, like, Caleb, who's a lot shorter than him. And I feel like defensively, we saw it last night, that rebound. Like, in that situation, like, Caleb, I don't think Caleb would have got that rebound. Or depending, what do they play him as primarily, a point? Or?
And Jalen's more like two most of the time. Because, I mean, usually Taj or Caleb are still in when Jalen comes in with, like, usually it's like TJ and Jalen take Cruz and Caleb spots.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taj stays in. Like, it's rarely that – it's rare that they play without either Caleb or Taj.
Yeah, because I feel like I still haven't seen a whole lot of Jalen minutes to personally to, like, really gauge, like, what his true role is. But, I don't know, that rebound last night, solid rebound from a guy, you know, of his position. He was up there with, you know, a lot of the bigs, and he got that rebound. So, I like that he's – you know, taller for his position. And like you said, he looks the part. Like, he's athletic. And if we could just get that shot going now, put us in a really good position going late into the season. So, anyway, wrapping up, nice two wins in our last two games to kind of get the Fairfield spirits going again. Fairfield now sits in sixth place, and we are right outside of that top five mark where we want to be. We're only a half game back, unfortunately, to Quinnipiac, so beating them once or twice would have really, really helped us a lot, but unfortunately it didn't work out that way. But we got Manhattan tomorrow, who is second to last place right now, but as the way things go, you know, 6 through 9 or 10 is like all tied pretty much anyway, so it's very, very close, and tomorrow's game is very important for standings purposes. It's also the last quote-unquote easy game we have for this week because we got St. Peter's on Friday and we got Iona on Sunday. So two very difficult games. So I feel like we really need to get this win tomorrow just to, first of all, give us good morale going into those games. And second of all, give us a win in case we don't take any of those two games. So we'll see what happens. Manhattan game's tomorrow at 1 p.m. Unfortunately, I wish it wasn't at 1, but we got class till 1:30 tomorrow, Jack and I, so
hopefully he
we'll probably miss the first half of the first half or something like
that. Just watching class.
Maybe he'll put it on. He'll let us do a live podcast in class. That'd be great. It's the power of podcasting class.
That's
anyway.
True.
But unfortunately, we'll miss like the first part of it, but we'll still watch it and probably start tweeting around 1:30. And hopefully we win that game. I hate Manhattan's coach so much, so I hope that we beat them. St. Pete, but Manhattan, though, we should mention, they do have one of the best players in the MAC. I think one of the leaders for MAC Player of the Year, Perez, he averages 19.2 points per game. So ESPN predictor is giving us 77% chance to win tomorrow, but we'll wait and see because we never trust that. Anyway, Friday's the big one. St. Peter's versus Fairfield, Webster Bank Arena. Both of the games are at Webster Bank Arena tomorrow and Friday. 7 p.m. on Friday. It's on ESPNU. Nationally televised game. For any students listening out there or any Fairfield fans at all, encourage you to go to the game. We're trying to get as many people as possible to that game to show out for national television. I know there's drink specials at Webster Bank Arena for anyone over the age of 21 out there. So they got some drink specials. And I know that, you know, obviously you could take If you're a student, you can take the student bus to the game. You can get in free with the stag card. So hopefully we'll get students there, and hopefully we can get fans there, a lot of fans there. We're going to try our best over the next few days to try to convince some people to go and hopefully get a good crowd for that game. And it's also a big game. I mean, St. Peter's, last time we played them was when we knocked them out of the MAC tournament, and we booked our ticket in the final. So they definitely are going to have revenge on their minds, and it's going to be on a national stage. So it's going to be a big game for us, and I'm very excited for it. I'll be there working, so I can't enjoy the drink specials, but I'll be there working, so it should be a good time. And then we got Sunday. We got Iona, 1 o'clock on Sunday. We'll watch that one. Thankfully, we're off Monday for President's Day. So
we got all the time in the world.
Yeah, no homework that day. We'll be strictly watching that game. And, I think that's going to do it for us. Any outlook on this week, upcoming week? Anything you'd like to see? Or
give me 2-1. 2-1 this week.
2-1 would be big. It would be big. And if you went 2-1, what game would you preferably drop?
Preferably drop the Iona game. Because you want that tiebreaker with St. Peter's. I don't know, is that the tiebreaker, the head-to-head?
Well, they haven't played yet.
So. I know, I'm saying if
oh, I think so.
If they were to tie in the standings.
I think so.
Because, if we're going to try and push for a top four seed, it could be us versus St. Peter's, 5-4 in the standings.
No, I would agree with you just because I think if we went 2-1 and the loss was Manhattan, that would be pretty incredible but also kind of sad.
Yeah.
But I think we got to beat Manhattan, and then I would love to beat St. Peter's because it's on national TV, and I hope there's a great crowd there, and I hope the energy is really good. So I think I would prefer that to be the 2-1 as well, but hey, let's shoot for 3-0. Why not?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's going to do it for us. I'm not sure what our show is going to look like next week. We're actually going to have Zach Dayton on the show for an interview. We had him on in October, and unfortunately the audio never saved, so if you didn't listen to it live, you never heard that, but it was a phenomenal interview. He was really good, well-spoken, had a lot of funny stories to tell, and it was just very interesting. And we're going to have him on next week again. So I'm not sure what our basketball coverage is going to look like next week. I'm not sure if we're going to have, any, really. But that should be a really good interview, so you should definitely tune in. And we're going to make sure it records this time. So that'll be next week's show. So thank you for listening. Make sure you guys tune into Fairfield Games this weekend. Make sure you go to the game on Friday night. Support the Stags in person. And you'll see us there. So we'll leave you off, like we always do, by saying, go Stags.